you know, just hearing people just get up and sing. I've heard we need to do all we can for the Lord. I love coming back here Wednesday night, and hallelujah, somebody else may just pop up and say, "Brother Bill, I won't sing tonight." Hey, ain't nobody here but us. Ain't nobody here but family. And I'll tell you one thing. The Father, He's not going to tell us to sit down and to be quiet. He's going to say, "You don't know how you can do it." Oh, me. Here this evening for a minute, turn to the book of Ephesians. Chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 1. You know, Paul, I believe he was one of God's servants. I believe that with all my heart. I believe he'd do anything he could to please the Lord. And we know that through Paul's testimony and through Paul's conviction and everything, that we know the Lord Jesus chose Paul. And that right there tells me one thing. That tells me, and that reiterates the word of God, that you cannot get saved when you just want to get saved. A whole lot of people out here think, "Well, if I go to church today, I'm going to get saved." They can get saved, but it has to be by the power of the Holy Spirit and through His Son, Jesus Christ. Because we know that Paul just didn't get saved because he wanted to get saved, and because he wanted to go into this city there and see God bless him. He wasn't even thinking about the Lord. But the Lord Jesus chose Paul. And I believe that the same way today, I believe the reason he saves people is because he chooses the people. He said, "Well, now, wait a minute, are you one of these Calvinists and everything talking about where you can be saved today and lost tomorrow?" Nope. Are you one of these people that believes that some are going to be saved going to heaven and some are not? No, I'm not one of them either. I believe that every child, and I'm speaking of child now, a child of God. Now, we all children of God, because we was created in the image of Almighty God. But yes, there's going to be some that's not going to make it. It's not going to be because of the Lord's fault. It's not going to be because of God's fault. It's not going to be because of the Holy Spirit's fault. It's going to all be the fault of the devil. And I believe that they can get saved just as good today as it could the day that Paul got saved. But they have to come with a desire in the heart to have the Holy Spirit to work in the life. And it says right here in verse 1 of chapter 1 of the book of Ephesians, it says, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithfulness and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Right here says to the faithful. Faithful. It takes the people that are saved by the grace of God. It takes us. It takes the faithfulness that we need for the Lord to go out and do His work. And as long as we have that trust, and as long as we come into Him by faith, not through any works, but by faith, that we can go out and we can just go out and invite someone to church. And we can tell them yes, we want to be the friend, we can pray for them. But you know, it's harder and harder today to get someone in church, isn't it? Harder and harder today. So I don't think, and I touched on a subject this morning on the browbeating and going and tell them that they need to be saved. They need to have Jesus in their life. They know that. But only a few people really has made the commitment unto the Lord Jesus Christ to ask Him to be the Lord of the life. And if He is the Lord of an individual's life, they're going to want to do everything that they can to please not themselves, not the pastor, not the deacons, or not some other member in the church, or even the family. They're going to please the Lord. Why? Because He is worthy. He is worthy of our praise. Now, I don't know if y'all ever heard this. It's been a long time since I've heard anybody ever say this. But I love to be in a service. And I love to be where God wants me to be at. To where I can be under the spout. Where the glory pours out. That I can be just like on... I can, just like when I get in the shower, I can be upon this shower head where the glory just pours out and it saturates my heart. It saturates my soul. It saturates my body. And we need to realize that that's the only way we can do anything is through the Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot do nothing without Him. I'm not able to even go up and down the highway. I'm not able to invite someone to church. I'm not even able to speak to them and tell them and listen to them without the Lord Jesus Christ. But we must have faith. We must be a faithful people. We must come into this church. Even if the little few that we have here tonight, it's 8 of us here tonight. But it hasn't ever been seen or hasn't ever been told of what are just a handful of people or one individual can do if they sell out their soul, the body, the mind, everything about them, sell out to the Lord. And you say, well, preacher, I can't sell out to the Lord. Yes, you can. You can sell out to the Lord. You can do what the Lord asked you to do. You can go out and you can, yes, we had the telephone today. We don't even have to even get out in an automobile. We don't have to get out here in the cold to go and visit someone. All we have to do is just pick up your phone and we can call someone. That's right. And you know, not only that, we can witness to people that we talk on the phone. You know, I can remember some times that when I get on the phone and It would be long distance call and everything, and I'd be talking to somebody, a tech on the other side, trying to help me to get something straightened out on the computer that I have messed up. And I will call them and ask for their help to help me to straighten the thing out, or what they could do to help me and everything. And I'd be just as courteous to them, and they'd be just as courteous to me. But yes, if we call them and we say, well, you know, I don't like this computer ain't never done nothing but let me down all the time and everything. If we go in with that kind of attitude, then we're going to get that kind of attitude back at us. And I've many a times, and I try to remember it. I used to have a stick on my machine to remind me to do that. But I'd always ask them, how's your day? And I've asked some of them, I said, do you know the Lord or your Savior? Today, I'll call some of them back. I'll call Hewitt Packard, and I'll talk to some of the tech people there and everything, and it'll be the same one that I've talked to in the past and before. Then it asks me, says, how you doing today? All right. Had one here about 3 weeks ago asked me, says, are you still saved? I said, brother, I can't get unsaved if I wanted to. I said, yes, I'm saved. I'm heaven bound. I'm going to heaven. I said, how about you? He said, yes, sir. I mean, we don't have to just keep it here at home. We don't have to just keep it here in our house. We can share it with people. I know of an individual, anytime he mails his bills off, he puts a track in there. What are they going to do? They're going to say, well, I ain't going to accept that letter no more. I'm not going to accept that envelope, but I know what's in that. Well, praise the Lord, if they don't accept it, well, I mean, they just might well go and call me and tell me, say, well, we ain't going to accept yours no more. Well, I hope you got somebody that's going to pay the bill then, because that's, you know. Well, what can I do? We done got so politically correct that we're scared to say anything. Scared to say anything. Why? Because we're not faithful to Jesus Christ. And he's not personal in life. Verse 2 says, grace be it to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be to you and peace from God. It's his marvelous grace, God's redemption at Christ's expense. Spells grace. God's redemption at Christ's expense. And peace from God our Father, which we can have the peace of God, we can have it through eternal life, and we can have the right attitude toward the Christian that's in this world that we go around today. They need help also. Not only that, we have everlasting life. Everlasting life, what is that? That is for me and for you. Where it says in the Word of God, it says that he gives eternal life. He gives, who does he give it to? He gives the one that has the everlasting life. He gives them eternal life because of what he done at Calvary. There's a difference between everlasting life and eternal life. You know, my life can last and my life can keep on going and keep on going. And I can still die and go to hell. There's a whole lot of people like here still dying and going to hell. Why? Because the only thing that they are focused in on is a life that they have. And they think because of the life that they have, it's going to get them to heaven. No, it's eternal life that's going to get us to heaven. And that's going to get us to heaven and trust in Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us from all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Excuse me. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. God blessed us when He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to leave the portals of glory, where He was there with His Son, with the Father, and with the Holy Spirit. Because you know, in the New Testament, I think it was Peter, it said, I know nothing about the Holy Spirit, basically what he's saying. I know nothing about the Holy Spirit. Who are you talking about? Talking about conviction. When's the last time, besides Dan to church, have you ever heard anybody say anything at all about conviction? Have you? You know, I've been to revivals and I haven't heard conviction in revival services. But it must take conviction that will draw us to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we have that type of conviction, then our love will come forth. It will show forth for the people. It will show forth for the people outside, that they can come into the house of God. And we can go out and we can witness to them. We can teach them. We can speak to them and all of these things. And invite them to church and say, I'll tell you what. And I'm gonna print up some tickets. I'm gonna print up some tickets, like you said. Well, we can just give out the tickets. Said him, we'll give you something free. Is a ticket. You're invited to come to church. Come to church. See what it's all about. And they will never go wrong. I've never in my life since I've been saved have I ever had anyone to come back to me and say, preacher, that's the worst thing I've ever done, was listen to you. I've never had anyone to come back and say that to me. Say that's the worst thing that I've ever done, was get saved. Because I'm going to tell you what, if ever get a hold to, I'm going to rephrase that now. If God ever get the hold to their heart, they'll know that they wish they'd have got saved many, many, many moons ago. I mean, I wish there was some way that I could go back and retract my life from the time that I was born on up until the age that I am now, that I wish I would have got saved when I was a teenager, when my grandmother was taking me to Arlington Baptist Church as a teenager. I wish I listened to the preacher. I wish that I listened to the Sunday school teacher at the time, but I wasn't listening. I was just enjoying the other people that was there, the other children that was there. We just was enjoying it. I didn't hear a thing what this Sunday school teacher said. Didn't hear a thing at all. I don't even remember ever hearing the first invitation at church. But I'm sure he gave it. But I wish that I got saved a whole lot sooner. But you know what? God knew what he was doing. God knew it wasn't time for me. You say, you honestly believe that it wasn't time for you to get saved when you was a teenager, when you was in church listening to the preacher preach and listen to the Sunday school teacher. I believe that. It wasn't my time. Why? Because I didn't feel anything drawing me to him. I didn't have that. I didn't grab a hold to the pew and just grab a hold to it to the point that as I grabbed a hold to it, I start scratching it. Wood. And leaving my fingernail prints there. I've been in some churches and I'd be sitting back there by Miller Way or somewhere like that in a revival or something like that, and I could look around and see at the back of the pews where people had grabbed a hold to the pews. They was in such conviction. They grabbed a hold to the pews and they would not let go. You could see where they had grabbed a hold to the pew and they scratched the pew. I've even been in church and I've even been in church preaching. And I see people like that under conviction. And I see them grab a hold of that pew. And you could see the fingernail, I mean the joints in the fingers. The knuckles will turn just as white. They would turn so white that you could sit back here and you could count them. One more. How many of them was white? Such conviction. That's through the power of God. That's through the blessings of the Lord Jesus Christ. With all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. We need to remember that he is the only one that we need to love. We know what the Bible says, that he must be our first love. But some people has walked away from that first love. Some people has walked away and said, God says, you know, I've been in church for years and years and years. And Father, you know that, hey, I was a deacon in church. You know that I was a Sunday school superintendent in church. You know I was a Sunday school teacher in church. You know all of that. I was in church there for years. But then I got to the point that I couldn't go to church because there's a bunch of hypocrites there. They'd come to church and they'd live one way in church and go back out into the world. What they're doing, they're calling them own self a hypocrite. Because they're in church, but yet they're allowing the church to dictate to them the way they need to love the Lord. And he'll knock that little feeling off his shoulder. And the next thing you know, he'll say, well, God, I had to get out of that. There's a bunch of hypocrites in that church. They come and sing, oh, how I love Jesus. And they don't no more love Jesus than a man in the moon. Hey, they better watch out what they say. They better watch out what they say. It's a good possibility they don't know anything about God's love. We must stand before him holy and without blame. To this day, it's going to be the saddest day of my life. It's when I stand before the judgment seat of Christ. I'm just like everyone else. When I get there, I'm going to stand there and he's going to ask me, says, well, Donnie, you remember such and such date? Such and such individual? Such and such time? And I asked you to go and you wouldn't go? And then I'm going to start saying, well, Lord, he says, uh-uh. He'll stop me right there. He says, uh-uh, I don't want no excuse. It's no excuse for you. There's no excuse for you. But we're going to one day say that. One day we're going to say that. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to him according to the good pleasure of his will, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. You know, people today, they use that predestination, they don't use it in the right form. We know in Genesis 1:1, it says, what does it say? In God. God created the heavens and the earth. Then he goes over there a little later on, and then he goes over and tells us how he goes about creating everything, the fowls of the air, the fish of the sea, the animals and everything. And not only that, he created each one of them and he brought them up. And then he formed man. Man became a living soul. And when he become a living soul, God says, Adam, I'm going to give you a job to do now. You can do it. Don't say you can't do it. I'm going to give you the task of naming all the fowls of the air, all the fish of the sea. I'm going to give you the task of naming all the cattle. And you know what? He put the appropriate name to each one of them. No one else could do that. God allowed Adam to do that. And God created man. Into his image, not no one else's image. We was not created in the image of Lucifer. We wasn't created
in the image of the angels there in heaven. We was created in the image of us. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. You know, I'm so thankful that I'm saved today. I'm so thankful that I'm doing as little as I can do. I'm thankful that I can do something for the Lord. If you ever, I think all of us here that has fairly decent health, at least we can get up, we can walk around, we can speak, and we can talk. See, the Lord has blessed us with that. He has blessed us to the point that we have nothing else to ask for. If right now, if the world that I'm living in, if they came by and took everything that I had, if they come by and take my home away from me, I'm still blessed. If they come by my way and take all of my clothes except for leaving me 1 pair of pants and a shirt, I'm still blessed. We are blessed people, and we don't realize it. We really don't realize how blessed we are. Look at how many other people are here, and the lives that they're living. Someone tonight don't even have a place to where they can call home. There's some people tonight don't even have a place to even lay their head. Some people tonight will be under the bridge somewhere. And they'll be using cardboard boxes to lay upon the body as a blanket where they wouldn't freeze to death. I'm so blessed today by all measure, I have all I need, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is all I need. I don't know of anything else I need. I don't know of anything else. Yes, there's things I want. But in looking at them things that I want, they're not going to really help me in the long run. If anything, they'll do more harm to me because then I'm going to yield unto the flesh. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this time that we've had tonight. And Father, remind us each day that we are people that are blessed. We are blessed by you, Father. And we are blessed by thy Son, Jesus Christ. And we are blessed by the Holy Spirit. Father, we pray, Lord Jesus, that this week that you may help us, that we might go and share something. Just be maybe an earpiece, just to listen to what people have to say. Because people, Father, are hurting today. We don't know what's going on in our lives. We don't know why that they're not in church. We don't know. And we really don't know what's going on in their life. So, Father, we should not criticize. We should not condemn them. Father, we just need to pray for them. Yes. thank you for this wonderful day that you've given us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your precious, precious word that you can take, that I can take, thy word and hide it in my heart, that I will not sin against thee. It says that I might not sin against thee. Father, I'm praying, Lord Jesus, that I can take thy word and I can feast upon thy word, that I will not sin against you. Go with us. Leave God in the rest.